Everybody, good to see you. Glad you're here. Been a couple of weeks since we've had Sunday school. Last week being Easter, we didn't have morning services. We didn't have Sunday school. Week before, we got snowed out. And so here we are. And we're going to pick up again. There's lessons over here if you didn't get it. We're on our lesson number 6. We're starting today, and we're in our series, Developing a Better Relationship with God. And just to kind of bring us up to speed, because it has been a couple of weeks, we talk about wanting to develop personally a better relationship with God, and in so doing, we've learned already about listening to God. And how do we listen to God? We listen to Him through reading His Word. That's how He speaks and communicates with us. Then we talked about our communicating with God, our talking with God. And of course, we do that through prayer. And communication is vital for any relationship, right? I mean, think about a husband and wife who don't communicate. You know, how long is that relationship going to last? And one of the things I do in my premarital counseling, or even any kind of marital counseling, you know, one of the most important things that you can bring into your marriage is communication. You have to talk about things. And of course, we talk to God, He talks to us. That helps our relationship to develop. Then we talked about dealing with sin and how, even though we're saved, and we're saved from the penalty of sin, we will never pay sin's penalty because Jesus paid it all. But we still sin in our daily experiences with life. So when we sin, we don't lose our salvation, but it does affect fellowship with God. So we have to deal with sin. We talked about that. And we talked about faith. And faith is very simply defined, believing God and then acting upon that belief, right? It's one thing to believe God. It's another thing then to act on it, okay? So we talked about how faith is important. And then last time together, we looked at our interaction with the Father. And we saw how each and every one of us are now, of course, related to God. He's our Father through adoption. And we talked about the relationship we have as God's children. And so in that case, we are dependent upon God as His children. Well, today, as you can see in lesson number 6 there, today, and we probably won't get much through the lesson, but maybe just the introduction today, maybe a point. But we're looking at our interaction with the Son as His servants. One of the things that we have to understand is we are servants of the Lord Jesus. Okay, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But at salvation, when you and I got saved. Now, the moment we got saved, the moment we were born again, we were delivered from bondage from our former spiritual enemies, okay? What were we in bondage to? We were in bondage to sin. We were in bondage to Satan. We're in bondage to the world, okay? And we were delivered from that. We were made, when we were saved, we were made permanent servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek word for servants in the New Testament is the word doulos, and it literally means a bond slave, okay? A stronger and another way to interpret that word servant would be slave, okay? And a bond slave in particular, or one who is in a permanent relation of service to another. Now turn your Bibles to the Old Testament, Exodus 21, and we see what a bond slave is. We learn from the Old Testament here what a bond slave is. And right after the law is given, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, in Exodus 21, God tells to Moses this, in verse 1, Exodus 21, 1. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. So, I guess there was also a time, I don't know about in the history of America, but definitely in the history of England, you know, there was what was called an indentured servant. A lot of times you got in debt to somebody, right, and you couldn't pay them back. Well, guess what? You became their servant. Their indentured, is that the word? Servant, okay? And so that's the thing here. Buying a Hebrew, he'll serve for 6 years. In the seventh year, he'll go out free for nothing, okay? So he has to serve you for 6 years. The seventh year, you let him go. He's served. He's paid his debt. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. So if he's married and he comes into this relationship of a servant, he leaves with his wife. If he came single, he leaves with nothing. But he's debt-free, okay? If his master, verse 4, if his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Now that seems a little bit cruel, but if, you know, hey, you know, you owed me, and this is part of the payment, okay? Notice verse 5. If thy servant shall plainly say, I love my, who? Master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. So who do we have to love first? The master, okay? Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Okay? So, let's just say you come, and you become a servant to a person. You owe him, or he decides to pay your debt, whatever the reason is, and you become his servant, you serve him for 6 years, you're given your freedom, but you don't want to leave because you what? Love your master, okay? So what would be the sign of a person who's been given their freedom, but they decided to use their freedom to stay with their master? He had a big hole in his ear. Okay, and then, you know, he would say, stay and serve him forever, right? He's been redeemed. His debt is paid, but with his freedom, he's going to stay and serve his Lord. That's kind of the foundation upon which doulos in the New Testament means. We were servants to sin. Okay, we were on the slave block, okay, and we were, you know, I don't know if how many of you ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin. Any of you ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin? In Uncle Tom's Cabin, it's a story about, of course, slavery in America, and Simon Legree was one of Uncle Tom's masters, and he was wicked and bad, okay? And Simon Legree was Uncle Tom's ruthless, evil slave master on a Louisiana plantation. Well, that's what our slave master originally was. Even worse, it was Satan, right? But Jesus came, and with his own blood, he purchased us. He gave us our freedom. So now, with our freedom, what do? We love our master, and we serve him. So we're no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves now, bond slaves to the Lord Jesus. And what's the mark we have that shows that? Now, we don't have holes in our ears, but what's the mark that we have? We love the brethren, but in particular, what are we given at our salvation? The Holy Spirit, right? You know, that's our identity. He's our down payment. He's our seal, right? And of course, we love the brethren, as Andy says, because we're all servants of the same master, okay? And how were we purchased? We were purchased with a great price. Look at Matthew 20. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and what? To give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus's life, Jesus's death, was a ransom paid to purchase us. Of course, he paid our sin debt. He paid what we owed. We don't have to work our debt off like the Old Testament people did. They had to work their debt off for 6 years. Jesus paid it all, right? All to him I owe. Now I am free with my liberty. I am free now to be his servant. Look at Acts 20:28. Oh, I just noticed that. They're both chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20:28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has what? Purchased with his own blood." So of course, the price that was paid, was Jesus's blood, Jesus's death. So we were purchased. Look at Romans chapter 1. Turn just a couple of pages or flip your phone a couple of pages, swipes. Notice what Paul calls himself, a servant of Jesus Christ. And what is that word there for servant? Doulos, okay? Bond slave. One who is in a permanent relationship of service to another, okay? So Paul, even before he calls himself an apostle, calls himself a slave to the Lord Jesus, okay? Look at chapter 14 of Romans. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Why are we the Lord's? He purchased us, right? Go all the way back. Think back to Exodus chapter 20. What was the prerequisite to get your hole in your ear? I love my master, right? I love my master. I love my master more than I love my wife. I love my master more than I love my children. I'm going to stay and serve him. And so that's the case. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? By being his doulos, by being his bond servants, by being his slaves and serving him, we bring glory to God. And that is one thing we do. A couple more passages and then we'll open it up for questions. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you hath he quickened," that means made alive, okay? "You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins," right? There we were on sins, on the slave block, right, of sin. We're dead in our trespasses and sin. We're chained to that block. There's no way, no how we could pay the debt we owe. That is where we are. "Wherein in time past tense, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Okay? Who was our master? Satan. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," isn't that great? No, two words great. How many times there in the Bible? "But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ," and raised us up together. So there we were, dead, no hope, no hope in the world. You know, outside of God's covenants, you know, being abused by Satan, worse than Simon Legree. And, you know, Jesus came, and with his own blood, he purchased us. He redeemed us. He set us free. And last one, same book, Ephesians, look at 6:6. How do we please our boss, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So over and over again, the Bible makes it very clear that we are God's, we are Christ's servants, bond slaves. We have been set free, amen, have we not? But what are we supposed to do with our new found freedom? Serve him. Okay? Any questions, thoughts, comments? Christy?
I've been reading in Leviticus and Numbers, and the Lord God was talking about how he wanted to set aside the Levites instead of taking the firstborn out of every household. Mm-hmm. And to not, because all those other tribes had responsibilities.
Right. Yeah.
So they had to tend their flocks and all that. And everybody gave to the Levites, who were the servants of God, and just dedicated, even though they had families, they were dedicated to serving God alone.
Right.
And
right.
You can't serve God alone and everything else.
Right, right. And yeah, and it's interesting too. I mean, the firstborn were redeemed, you know, from each person. The firstborn was always redeemed back to God. That goes back to the Passover and the death of the firstborn and the plague and everything. But you know, but here we are, right? God's servants. And our life becomes a life of servitude. Not just the people in the ministry. We're all servants. And how do we serve God? By doing everything for his honor and his glory, by showing, you know, others that we love our master, right?
And Hebrews says that we're all priests.
We're all priests. Yep. You know, every one of us, priesthood of the believer. Okay? Any other thoughts or comments? We live in a world that doesn't like the word slave, right? We live in a world that doesn't even like the word servant. And that's kind of, I want to say, that's kind of softening this word. You know, it literally is a bond slave, okay? And I'm going to give my life to the service of another, okay? And of course, the one we're giving our life to service of is the Lord Jesus. But, you know, we don't like that. People are talking about reparations and all kinds of crazy things today, right? What do we owe? What are we owed? Nothing. All to Jesus I surrender, right? Jesus paid it all, right? And what is the reparation? Our giving our lives back to him for what he's done. You know, it's kind of crazy that people who never were slaves and people who never owned slaves want to be paid, you know, by people who never owned a slave. And it's crazy, but that's
the premise of American slavery is wrong.
Right.
Know, whole race of people were
sure.
Enslaved. But God was, in the beginning, he wasn't against slavery. In fact, he has rules about slavery
right.
all the way through the
yep.
Old Testament.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, this wasn't like the Egyptian bondage, you know.
Right.
But you know, if you had a debt, it had to be paid.
Or you had people, this was the way people worked.
Right.
I mean, it was sort of a different system.
Yep.
But God had laid out
yep.
how that's done.
And yep.
It's like he wasn't saying, don't keep slaves.
And it's very interesting that, you know, when you think of historically, you know, that they claim that Rome, you know, the population of Rome could have been made up of one-third of the population of Rome was, the empire was slaves. And nowhere do you see Paul saying, okay, rise up, slave. What was the name of that one movie of the slave who rose up to Spartacus? You know, no Spartacuses, you know, and, you know, but, you know, realize who you really are a slave of, the Lord Jesus, and serve him. And, you know, I'd rather be a slave to the Lord Jesus than a slave to who I was a slave to before, right? You know, Satan and sin and all. Okay? Anything else? You got something? Okay. Uh-huh. Right. Right.
And something, one of the things I learned in English is everything in between the commas is extra information.
Right. Yep.
Until you get to the verb or
whatever. Yep.
So I read it and I see and I read the whole thing, but God hath quickened us.
Right. God has made us alive, you know, in Christ and with Christ. Yep. Yep. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when we think of slavery, when we think of bondage, this relationship is not burdensome bondage, for our master knows what it is like to live under the Father's yoke. Look at John 6. The interesting thing is, you know, when you think about the kenosis, the emptying of Christ, his humbling himself, his putting on flesh, what does it say? He humbled himself and became a servant, right? So Jesus knows what it's like. Look at John 6:38. The Bible says in John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Who sent him? The Father. So Jesus didn't come down to do his own will. He came down to do the will of the Father. So Jesus, it's not in our notes, but Philippians 2, you know, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." So Jesus knows what it's like. He came to be the slave of the Father. What else do I have listed there? John 8:28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Okay? So, is Jesus asking us to do anything that he hasn't already done? Right? Whose will are we supposed to do? The will of the Father. Whose will did Jesus do? The will of the Father. Whose servants are we? We're the servants of God. Whose servant was Jesus? The servant of God. So this relationship is not burdensome bondage, for our Master knows what it's like to live under the Father's yoke and is ready to help us with our load as we daily submit to his leadership. Look at Matthew 11. Very, very popular. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. What were we laboring and what were we heavy laden with? Sin, right? Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, could you imagine in Uncle Tom's cabin if Simon Legree ever decided to come out into the field and help his slaves pick cotton? Wasn't going to happen, right? That's why I have you. You work for me. I own you. But our Master, what does he do? He yokes up with us, right? Of course, he takes our burden. He took our burden of sin. He carried it. He carried the cross that was meant for us. He took the wrath that was meant for us. His burden is easy, you know. So think about that. After that has been paid, after we have been redeemed, after our chains are taken off and we are set free, he helps us. That's I love my Master. That's kind of very easy to see. So we have been called unto his fellowship, for we are his friends as well as servants, and he loves us very much. John 15, the night Jesus was, the last night he was with his disciples, he's up in the upper room with them, and he says in 15:15, well, let's go back one verse and read 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So could you imagine back in the 1700s and 1800s when slavery was going in America, could you imagine if a slave owner decided to become friends with a slave? Just wasn't culturally appropriate, right? But here Jesus is our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, okay? We're still his servants, but he treats us like friends, right? He doesn't treat us like slaves. He treats us like friends. And he tells us what he wants us to do. He tells us what the Father wants us to do. He doesn't leave it for us to figure it out, but we're his friends, okay? And yes, his servants, but again, we're not treated like servants. We're treated like friends. We're in fact, we could develop this on and on and on. We're not only servants, we're not only friends, we're joint heirs, you know, and, you know, it just goes on and on, right, what God does for us. But what is our attitude? Our attitude is one of a servant, right? And the way Jesus responds to us is not cracking the whip. He responds to us as friends. He responds to us as you know, a brother. He responds to us that way. Okay? So, how does this help us experience the Lord's fellowship? So, before we look into the first point, any questions or thoughts? Right.
Christ does the work.
Right. Right.
Right. We're not expected to do the work.
Right. What?
We're expected to be available, used as the vessel, really, for Christ to express or live his life through us.
Remember. In the early church and in Acts 15 when they had to call the council together and all the leaders of the church got together because, you know, the question was the law. All these Gentiles getting saved because of, you know, Peter using the keys to open the door to the Gentiles when Cornelius got saved. And then, of course, Paul and Barnabas going on the missionary trips and many Gentiles getting saved. What do we do with the Gentiles? What do we do with the law? And James says, why do we want to put that burden around their necks? Right? The law didn't, as Andy said, the law didn't help us. The law couldn't help us. This was the law. You lived under that law. But Jesus, you know, became a curse for us and, you know, died on the cross, fulfilled the law, and now, because of grace, because of mercy, because of love, you know, we can serve him. We are free to serve him. And he helps us. Why? Because he treats us like friends. He doesn't treat us like slaves. We're his bondslaves. That's our attitude toward him. But he doesn't treat us, you know, like, oh, you're just a slave, you know.
So the verses we just read in Matthew that, you know, my yoke is easy. And it doesn't come along and take the yoke off of us.
No, not at all.
But the burden is different.
Yeah.
The burden isn't the law anymore. It's the burden of the gospel. It is the burden
exactly.
Of whatever it is that Christ has for us to do. And he teaches us with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and yes, we could probably say there's some dispensational interpretation of Matthew because it still is in the Old Testament and whatnot. But nonetheless, you know, people labor and are heavy laden. And you know, we don't labor under the law anymore. You know, even the Gentile, he's never been under that law. He's not without law, the Bible says, you know, but God, Christ comes along and helps us with that. And he gives us his Spirit to help us, to indwell us, to empower us, you know, to anoint us. I mean, on and on and on we could go how, you know, the Lord definitely does not treat us like masters of old. You know, he treats us like joint heirs. He treats us like children, his children, I should say, you know. But again, our attitude is an attitude of what? A servant, right? We're going to serve him because, go back to Exodus, I love my master, okay? Now, I think it's important we still understand our position, but we don't flaunt our position. I'm a joint heir. Get out of the way. I don't have to, you know, this seat's mine. You know, what does Jesus say? Take the back seat. You know what I'm saying? You know, we don't, it's important for us to know who we are. That's the book of Ephesians, right? The Ephesian believers were living under their, the knowledge of, you know, not up to the knowledge of who they are. We're God's children. But that doesn't give us, yes, it gives us privilege. I understand what I'm saying, but not privilege to tout around and to brag about and to show off, you know. Exactly. Yes.
I was reading a biography on John Newton last week.
John Newton?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. I never realized that he was a slave first.
Slave, yeah, right, and then became a slave trader. Yep.
And then he became a slave trader.
Yep.
As he was delivering the slaves on the ships, he started to realize and think about, well, why am I treating these people this
right.
way? Why am
yep.
I delivering them?
Yep.
And that led him to write Amazing Grace.
Yep, amen. There's an interesting story. This is a little side note about the music that Amazing Grace is set to. And if you ever get an opportunity, there's a black man who tells a story of the pentatonic scale and how it's African music. And you know, could that have been in John Newton's mind, hearing these people sing? Not that he understood the words, but the melody. You know, it, huh? I think so, yeah. According to the guy that I saw, you know, anyway, explain it. So, anyway, our master is very, very, very unique, very different. We only have a few minutes. I'm going to stop here just because it's a good place to stop. It's a little bit early, but please keep your papers and we'll get to this. Get to this next week. Is there anything anybody has a question or anything in the couple of minutes here? Right. 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 Yep. And that's you know, what is the law? Paul tells us in Galatians. It's our schoolmaster. To what? Bring us to Christ. What's the purpose of the law? I can't do this. I need help, right? And you know, I often think, and this is my thinking, I don't know if this is, you know, but when Moses came down off the mountain and he told Israel everything that God said, what did they say? All that God says we will do. Now, that's a noble response, right? That's a noble response. But that's an impossible response. You know, just looking at the mountain thundering and shaking and smoking and, you know, and how could you, you know. Of course, God was very, 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 very gracious to the nation of Israel. Of course, he was impatient with them. But, you know, whew, you know. Yeah, yeah. 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 Right. No, not at all. It's sad. It's sad. And what we're seeing there now, sadly, is going to be worse one day, you know, and that's the sad thing. So, okay, so how do we respond? I love my master, so I am a bondslave. But what is he, you know, how does he treat us? Friends, join air, you know, not he's not cracking the whip, you know, he's not like that angry. What was that? And he's with us, he empowers us, he helps us, and, you know, great, great, great stuff.